Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know what, folks? I want to direct your attention to HagmanReport.com. That's our home base. And look for, each week, look for the Vintage Radio. That's right, the Vintage Radio. And there on our website, HagmanReport.com, you can find the guests for the week. This is done by our program director, John Robertson. Incredible in terms of preparation, laying it all out for you. And one of the things that we had asked him to do was find the best independent researchers, investigative journalists, researchers on topics. And I've heard from so many people. One of the one of those independent researchers, her name is Sophia Smallstorm. Her website is aboutthesky.com, but she's a regular guest on numerous radio programs, and she is a wealth of information, let me tell you. Richie Allen Show, for one radio show, SGD Report. I mean, just, and she's got an amazing video, YouTube channel, an amazing channel, where a lot of, well, folks, you can get educated by what she has done. And I'm really impressed by her work. And another thing I'm impressed with is she is not afraid to investigate the controversial subjects. I don't care whether it's 9/11 or Sandy Hook or skies, or it doesn't matter. She'll go out there and she will investigate as any independent journalist would. So it's our honor to bring her on for the first time, debuting on the Hagman and Hagman Report, Sophia Smallstrom. Sophia, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's so nice to be here.
No, it's great to have you. You know, you've there's so much to talk about, and we really appreciate your gift of time. I spent part of the weekend and a lot of today looking at your material, and listening to interview after interview. You cover so much of everything. But one thing I'm not too certain about, how in the world did you get started asking questions? If you don't mind giving us a little bit of history about yourself, to the extent you feel comfortable, that'd be great, because I just wonder, I marvel at your ability to get to the root of matters at hand.
Well, okay. I should really go back to my days at college or university. And it has occurred to me since then that the method of educating people at highly desirable universities, I went to an Ivy League school, and it was a requirement for me, of me, by my family. I absolutely had to go to one of those schools, and there was no buts or ifs about it. So what I realized there was that breakneck pace at which we went through material did not give us any opportunity to study that material, really understand it, ask our own questions about it, and satisfy ourselves that we were actually learning something. You had to speed through stuff. I mean, there was a semester when I had 1,000 pages of reading a week, and I had to write a paper a week. It was terrible. And this is called trauma-based education. You don't learn. You just absorb, and you're frantically trying to prove that you can write something about this. But it's not real learning. So after I got out of that place, I was shell-shocked, really. You know, the first summer that I was out of this Ivy League school, I painted houses. And my parents were horrified. They couldn't understand how they spent so much money on, you know, this education they were giving me, and then I would go and paint houses. But it allowed me to kind of clean my head out, literally. I mean, we had to paint with oil-based paints, and the fumes were bad, and luckily I didn't do it for very long. But I then embarked on my own life. And I refused to go to graduate school. I did not want to become anything with letters and degrees. At one time, I kind of wavered, and I went to a postgraduate program at Columbia to enter medical school. And that was horrible as well. So I quit that. And I guess over the course of many years, I became what I am now. So does that explain it a bit?
It does. And it's interesting you use the phrase trauma-based education. It's
so the education that your family and you paid to attend that was supposed to set you up, you know, with the information that you needed to pursue a career of your choosing actually was a hindrance to you, and you going out on your own and finding your own way in the world and taking, you know, that time off, that mental break, actually is what led to you being able to think and apply yourself the way you do today.
Critical thinking. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I have to credit the school I was at. It was a very different kind of Ivy League school. It was Brown University, and they prided themselves on the kind of students that they drew, who were all very diverse in the sense of their life experience. Many were valedictorians. They were all very intelligent, but they had ventured and adventured. I mean, there was one kid who, if I remember correctly, he had climbed Everest. I think he actually, I don't know if he did the whole thing, but he was a junior in high school, and that was remarkable, you know. These kinds of people. So I actually had a much better time with my peers than I did with my professors. My professors were, it was all inflated Marxist mumbo jumbo. That's really what it was.
Interesting. Well, and not surprising, but nonetheless. So here you are. And, okay, and you're highly respected and well received on the internet with respect to all subjects that you investigate. If I can just ask this, I guess to start out, and Joe and I were talking before the show, and we were looking at the different videos you've done and all the different. Oh my goodness! I mean, you've touched on so many topics, but so we were thinking, you know, where do we start? So how about this? Here we are. Less than a month into the Trump administration, where the country, I believe, suffered a cultural, moral, and spiritual whiplash, which is the reason that we're seeing things that we're seeing right now, because of the trajectory that we were on, and suddenly now we're that's being changed, and people can't handle that. I guess I said all of that just to ask you this: where would you like to start? We're dealing with a big elephant here, and there are many chunks to this elephant, but what do you feel is the place to start tonight in your inaugural appearance here with us?
Well, Trump was recently inaugurated, so let's not start with him.
Okay.
I have my own name for him. I call him Tyrannosaurus Rump, T-Rump for short.
Ooh.
And if you can picture him as such a thing, I mean, he has that burly torso. He has he's very pompous, I'm sorry to say. So I actually contributed a chapter to a book about Trump, which will come out soon. So hopefully you might have some information about that book to present to your listeners. But I was a contributing author, and I wrote a chapter about this character, Tyrannosaurus Rump, T-Rump for short. So
okay.
It was...
Well, we're going to save that. Okay.
Yes,
we're
we'll save that. It. It was tongue-in-cheek. But what I want to say is that, you know, there's a whole technocratic movement at hand. We are seeing science being invited to solve the world's problems. Science and corporatocracy. So you get a technological... platform mixed with corporations, and really what is guiding and leading everything is this fictitious entity. It's a whole set of dead rules and regulations. And so we are being pulled, you could say cleaved, away from our true nature, which is living nature. And we have been made to interact with each other and through every imaginable angle and bit of our lives. We've been made to interact through commerce and contracts. We're constantly signing away our power. We don't understand that we've done this. We don't read fine print. The real nature of our interactions with these dead fictions called corporations, which are the banks to the hospitals to the schools to every single thing you could imagine, is incorporated. And we don't understand how we really interact with that. We interact with it through our own dead self, which is our straw man. So this is a dead world. It's not a living world.
Interesting. All right. Well, okay, that's the backdrop, and I suppose that's the, what would you call that? That's the environment in which we have been thrust into, and we've been existing within this framework of, deception. I get all of that. So, technocracy, Patrick Wood talks about that, of course, has written about that. We've had him on our show.
There's so many angles and areas of this technocracy, from the control that we allow it to exert over us with our mobile devices and our computers, the internet, the TV, the media. All these are all double-edged swords. We see the use of, in good ways, you know, information sharing and being able to help each other. But then we see the evil ways, which is the primary usage for these things. And we're coming to a point where we will be enslaved by technology. We will not be able to operate outside of the technological world. And that's what these people want, for total control. And it's a very dangerous situation. We're right on the cusp of that, next innovative, product that will, continue to move this.
Everything,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, what do you see then as the really a starting point for discussion? What do you see as really kind of the foundation for where we're at, or where would you like to start?
Well, we've started. We've really started. So let's just keep talking. So what I'd like to add to what was just said is that we are being made to fall in love with and become dependent on different technologies. And this is being done through the harnessing of our own biology without our understanding it. So a more advanced level of that is the real integration of technology into our biology, such that synthetic biology becomes a part of us. And then when we have consented to, now this is by contract, they always solicit our consent. So this business of, do you want a chip in you so that, you don't have to use Google, you can just think of something and the answer will be there. It will be the Google chip. Would you like that? And people will say, yes, I would love that. And so by our consent, as technological innovation is implanted in us and becomes part of our biology, then guess what? Now we become owned. It's the same as the Monsanto hybrid seeds floating on the wind, infecting, you could say, the natural farmer's crops, such that he's then pursued through litigation and he is told, well, why are your crops hybridized with ours and you're not paying us a license every year? Well, I couldn't help it. This is not beyond my control. The wind brought your seeds over. This was Percy Schmeiser, the famous case of the farmer in Canada, I believe. And he lost. And the thing is this, once we have, whether it's by our consent or it's by absorption through the GMOs, through vaccines, through whatever means, there are environmentally delivered particles that are synthetic from chemtrails, from aerosol spraying. But as we start integrating this, because our biology is adaptive, our biology is always going, what? What's this? Oh, well, I guess if I can't eject and reject it, I'm going to have to deal with it and work with it, work around it. So as that material is integrated into us, we then become somebody else's property, because we have got their stuff in us, and we can't explain how it got there.
Who's okay, who's behind this? I understand. I understand the larger picture here. You know, it's what we term here as the Luciferian elite, the globalists, the people who want to take over the world, basically, and are doing so. But okay, so what we're seeing is a full, complete, all-out assault against us, against humanity, right?
It's a creeping takeover. It's creeping. You can call it an assault, but there are plenty of people still surviving and walking around, and they are being debilitated, but they don't understand why. They're not educated enough to know why and how they are degenerating. For instance, we're not dying any longer from microbial disease. Why is that? It's because of hygiene. It's not because of the wonders of modern medicine. It's because they piped running water into our houses. We have glass windows. Sunlight is a natural disinfectant. And so the microbial world that we were constantly competing with, that was giving us, you know, tuberculosis and coughs and just bad health, periodic weakness in general, we have conquered through improvements in hygiene and sanitation. You know, the fact that people actually take off their underwear on a daily basis and wash it, cotton washable underwear is one of the three things, along with running water and glass windows in houses. That's really what's improved our lives. But to go back to this idea of creeping takeover, we are degenerating, and that is not because of germs. This is another big hoodwink that they've pulled on us. They've told us that germs are killing us. And today, germs are not killing us. We've got way too much sanitation, at least not in the Western world. So what is killing us? It's the chemical contamination. We each carry about 100,000 traces and residues of man-made chemical compounds in our bodies. It's that, and it's this constant irradiation, which people are now addicted to in the form of their computers and their iPads and their phones.
Interesting. You're exactly right. Okay, constant irradiation. And you can't really escape that, can you? With the Wi-Fi stuff, the stuff going through the air that you can't see in terms of... the electronic stuff. I don't even know the terms for it, but I think you, yeah, okay.
Wireless frequencies. You know what? You actually can avoid a lot of the damage, and I'll tell you how. When you are moving, if you're walking downtown and there's tons of these little antennas perched on lampposts, and you'll often find buildings with cell masts on them. They're a few feet high. A lot of landlords, you know, churches are famous for this. They will put tons of cell antennas and masts in their belfries and on their roofs. And so are lots of apartment buildings. Landlords make a fortune if they put different antennas. Now, remember, all the different carriers, they each have to have their antenna on the building. So this is all commerce, commerce and contracts, right? So anyway, if you're walking around, the wireless radiation cannot harm you as much as if you're sitting still. It's just like if you're a moving target for a sniper. So there's that. There's also shielding methodology. You can choose, for instance, to keep your own phone in your pocket or purse on airplane mode, airplane setting. Then it's not constantly burping and pulsing, looking for the nearest tower. It's having the thing on, and when it's transmitting and receiving. See, what has happened is, in the old days, in the days of radio, we had radio stations, right? We had FDR. He was giving us his fireside chats, and people would cluster around the radio and listen. And they would also listen to dramas aired on radio. But we were all owners and operators of the receivers. And the farther you were from where the signal was being emitted, the safer you were. The signal actually thins out and weakens. So people who had the receivers were not on the injury end of the signal. People who lived near radio stations were in much greater danger. There's been evidence of cancer clusters wherever there was a powerful radio station with its broadcasting antenna or antennas. And so today, with our phones and our iPads and our laptops and whatever else, I mean, there's now wireless everywhere. Our cars have it. It's in the tires. They're communicating. The brakes are communicating to the car, and they're going to have these self-driving cars, you know, that's all going to be wireless and remote. The robot world has to be wireless because you cannot have wires. You can't have robots falling over their wires. So this whole wireless explosion can be guarded against, but you have to make a conscious choice. And you have to say, okay, I can still have a wired computer in my house. I can still have wired mouse and wired this and that. But the thing is, the trend is not to be wired. And they started this years and years ago.
It's a behavior modification thing, right? I mean, that's basically.
And this is just the, you know, some of the softer parts of the harmful effects of what we see. They've actually been able to weaponize electromagnetic frequencies. They have microwave guns where they can blast a frequency that can melt your internal organs from miles away. And this is just some of the things that we know that they have been able to do with technology. But, you know, just the soft kill stuff that you're talking about is dangerous enough.
And you say, and ma'am, you I believe you said it correctly. It's incremental. I think it's conditioning. Obviously, the incremental nature of this is for conditioning purposes, but also for ultimate control. And it's in acceptance, conditioning, acceptance, and control. So it's amazing how you just laid this out there. Okay. Wow.
So, yeah, we are adaptable. So not everybody's going to keel over from, let's just take a very garden variety example. Bad air, L.A. smog, right? L.A. smog. We knew about this decades ago. But not people aren't falling over and dying from smog in L.A. Tell me one person who's died from chemtrails. Tell me. I don't know anyone. I know people who've gotten sick. I know people who've developed all kinds of issues. Morgellons syndrome to respiratory issues to whatever. There's a huge, vast range of ill effects from aerosol spraying. But it's not like the population is falling down and dying from this. So what's happening over the generations? People are acclimating, and they want a frequency-responsive population. This is the kernel, this is the core of humanity 2.0. They are moving us from Homo sapien into this thing that they call Homo evolutus. And Homo evolutus is the evolved human being, the human being that is integrated with technological, that is technologically refined, you could say, that's capable of more and better because technology has surpassed biology. So that's where we're going, and it's so creeping that you and I might be upset by this, and we don't want our kids to be sailing into it without understanding what's happening to them. But as we leap generations, and this is literally like leapfrog down the road, the newer generations, this is not going to faze them.
Yeah, this is so interesting. So, Sophia, we're about a minute out to break. I want to say this because you were mentioning chemtrails. Your website, aboutthesky.com, it caught my attention for one reason, for one picture. And that's, folks, if you just go to aboutthesky.com, I'm not even going to tell you what the picture is. It's the first one, really, on the page. Okay, it just caught my, it's the first one that within the body on the page. It caught my attention because it's, to me, that spoke directly to me about really what this is all about. You know what I'm referring to, right, Sophia?
Yeah, that's my own hack job. There was a mural, and I simply added a certain element to the mural. So, yeah, your listeners can go, and right there on the homepage. Thank you.
Because we've spoken about chemtrails to other guests, and you know, when you mention the chemtrails to your family, your friends, people who are not aware of really what the geoengineering aspect of things, they look at you like you've got two heads, you know, and they think, oh man, you're just so far out to lunch, you're never coming back, and you know, how can...
At the same time, the U.S. government, the Chinese government, the Vatican all release stories on how they've been cloud seeding and geoengineering by spraying aerosol, aluminum, and other chemicals into the air on one side of their mouth, with the other side telling you, you're crazy.
Ms. Smallstorm, I got to tell you this, as an investigator for the past 30 years, chemtrails is probably the most difficult issues for me to really accept. And, yet it's so blatant, so flagrant, and there's ample proof to show geoengineering is taking place. And your site about thesky.com, that website there really drives the point home. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Sophia Smallstorm. Her website, just the website, aboutthesky.com, but check her out on YouTube as well. A robust, very robust appearances on YouTube. And very educated, very knowledgeable. We're lucky to have her. Stay right where you're at. Give us 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free. Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America. Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hagman and Hagman Report. So blessed to have with us very special guest, Sophia Smallstorm. Her website, aboutthesky.com. Go there. Take a look at the one image that she put up there. It sends a message, and I believe, well, just from my investigative point of view, it got my attention. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's pretty compelling. Before we get back to Sophia, and I want to thank her for her gift of time tonight. But, folks, if you haven't taken advantage of Green Innovative's 14% off the entire purchase yet for the month of February, do so. Do so. Greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Let me tell you something. In a situation where you need power and you don't have it, you look for batteries, for example, and for that flashlight or whatever, you know, a good, so oftentimes that your batteries that you have on your shelf are dead, perhaps long since dead. Throwaway batteries will go dead either on the shelf or during use. You need rechargeable batteries. Well, when you have rechargeable batteries, you need power to recharge. But if you don't have power to recharge them, or if you can't operate a hand crank, or if you don't have sun, what are you going to do? We have the solution. Greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Just go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greeninnovative. There you can find the GMAG power cell. It weighs only 8 ounces. It makes power simply by adding salt and water to the unit. It is EMP safe. It's got an indefinite shelf life. It can charge an unlimited number of batteries. And it is made in the USA. When natural or man-made disaster strikes and you need power, all you do is just add water. Now, for the month of February, 14% off. Get that, February 14th, Valentine's Day. You know, you get that. Yeah, I know you did. But off of your entire purchase at greeninnovative.com, had to twist the arm of owner Alan Riggs, but he said, okay, put the rubber hose down. We'll give the listeners a break. 14%. Seriously, it's a great offer, really. So take advantage of it between now and the end of February. And by the way, I understand that the units are flying off the shelves at that 14% discount. So make your move soon. Greeninnovative.com. Greeninnovative.com. That is greeninnovative.com. Oh, you got to enter the coupon code Hagman for that offer. They'll do the rest. Coupon code Hagman. They'll do the rest.
Our guest now and until the end of the program is Sophia Smallstorm, and her website is aboutthesky.com. Go there, bookmark the site, and check out all the different stories that she's got up there covering so many topics. Then we're talking about a lot of those topics tonight. All right, Sophia, before the break, we were talking about the geoengineering. And you mentioned something I want to go back on, the Monsanto. And you referenced the case of the cross-pollination of other farmers being polluted by Monsanto products and then losing cases in court over the crops being owned by Monsanto, even though the farmers owned them. One of the things about the Trump administration that have a lot of people scratching their head is his warming up to Monsanto. And it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. And I know you talked about wanting to get into the Trump stuff later, so we can do that. But any thoughts on what we've seen from this administration with Monsanto?
I actually don't know how or what you're actually talking about, how he is warming up to them, but I've seen him warm up to some other issues that he swore he would be walking away from. So all I can say is all these people, I say it, you know, they play ball with the big guys, but I spell it B-A-A-L. This is unavoidable. If you want to get to high office in this culture, and this is dynastic, it doesn't just pertain to the Western world in the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries. This goes back centuries. thousands of years, you have to play ball, B-A-A-L. And that's what he does. It's just inevitable. You can't get around it. How could he be where he is?
True. Very true. Yeah, you know, you're right. And time will tell on this as well. But, okay, let's get back to the what you were talking about with respect to chemtrails and geoengineering, or however you would like to be, because we've got some time here, and we really want to pick your brain about a lot of things. I mean, you cover, and folks, Sophia covers everything from 9/11 to Sandy Hook to chemtrails to what? Vaccines. I mean, you know, and all of this seems to be interrelated. So go ahead and take us down the path you'd like to take us, at your pace and at your leisure.
Okay, so I want to get into the topic of biological darkness. This was a new term for me. I just stumbled across it a few weeks ago. I was watching an interview between Dr. Mercola and Alexander Wunsch, W-U-N-S-C-H. He's German, and he is a photobiologist. Now, I didn't even know much about photobiology, but as you can imagine, it's the study of light interacting on and with biology, right? So what happens when we see real light, when the sun rises every day, we actually begin to make vitamin D. The light infuses our body. The photonic reaction upon our tissues causes all kinds of biological processes to begin. So I want to tell you a scary thing. If you live north of Atlanta, Georgia, or that latitude in the world, you're not going to be able to make vitamin D from sunlight between November and February. This is why everybody runs off to the Caribbean for winter vacations, particularly spring break. They've just got to pile up that vitamin D. They've got to kickstart their biology because it's been dormant for so long. So light, no wonder ancient people worship the sun. The sun is life-giving. Its light is golden. Its light is cleansing. It's, remember I said a little while ago, it's a natural disinfectant. Sunlight is antiseptic. Sunlight kickstarts all kinds of stuff in your body, including the production of vitamin D, which is a critical hormone that affects 3,000 genes and causes all these different biological processes to occur. So here's an example that's very common to our lives. People who wake up before the sun rises, and they hustle and bustle in their house, get into their car or a train, and they make their way to a city, an office building. They sit in artificial light all day, and then they get out after the sun is going down, and they never see or experience real daylight. So what happens to them? They live in biological darkness. Even though the lights are on in their offices, this is not real light. Real light, full spectrum light, has to be delivered with thermal energy. Firelight does that. The fire gives you heat. So if you get light without its heat component, your biological processes do not take place and you start deteriorating. And so what do chemtrails do? Chemtrails create the famous white haze. Chemtrails actually were the whole proof of particulates causing a cloud layer came from Hebrew University, Daniel Rosenfeld, the atmospheric scientist. There was a headline at the time that said, pollution stops rain. This hit the newspapers in that way. Pollution stops rain. And what Rosenfeld discovered was that cities, remember I talked about LA with its smog, cities that were clouded with particulate from pollution actually had less rainfall than they were meant to, because the little particles of pollution would absorb the atmospheric moisture above the city and create a haze, a particulate haze, that was small and stable because of the size of the particulates. So how is a raindrop made in nature? A raindrop is made because salt particles or dust particles in the atmosphere, which have an affinity for moisture, will draw moisture to them. And so they become what's called a condensation nucleus. There's condensation around a nucleus. Nucleus would be the dust or salt particle. And as more and more water is drawn to that little drop, it gets bigger and bigger, and eventually, when it's so big that it becomes unstable, it falls to the earth as rain. So they discovered that if there were small enough particulates up there, they would not fall. And this is where we get the whole spraying program, that they could spray materials that had a love for water, that were hydrophilic, these metallic salts, aluminum oxide, barium oxide, titanium oxide, and they would draw to them atmospheric moisture, and they would create the famous white haze. So what does that white haze do? It's a filter. What does it filter? It filters the golden sun. It changes the frequency and the quality of the sun's antiseptic, life-giving, warm light to a cold, instead of golden, silver, instead of antiseptic, septic, mold-promoting filter. And what happens underneath that? We degenerate. We don't make vitamin D. We start falling apart.
Was this done initially for that nefarious purpose, or did this have an altruistic purpose? Perhaps, I don't know, maybe, we'll pick an altruistic purpose, but suddenly we realize that the collateral damage that it's causing.
I honestly think that there was nothing favorable about this, that the program on its face is about weather modification, but it has so many other legs that it's horrifying.
And by the way, folks, if you go to aboutthesky.com, you'll learn all about this. But and if you spend any time listening to our guest, Sophia Smallstorm, you'll learn about this. But again, this took me a long time to really wrap my head around. When did this, about when did this start in earnest, or when did this start? For the new people who are perhaps like me, you know, years ago, trying to wrap their head around this, when did this start, and by what entity, group?
Well, they were playing around with rainmaking in the 50s and 60s. They were using silver iodide. And remember in Forrest Gump, the part where he says, and then it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. Well, that was, I think it was called Operation Popeye. And they used cloud seeding to cause torrents of rain in Vietnam to turn all the roads to mud. So this weather warfare was part of the agenda. And the Army has a document owning the weather in 2025, which, by the way, isn't that far off now. But I remember as a child looking up at the evening sky and seeing this thing called a mare's tail. Do you have any memory of that? It literally looks like a horse's tail, and it's a very high, just a gorgeous, like feather-like, huge streak of cloud in the sky. It's made of tiny ice particles, and it's a cirrus cloud, but it only used to show up in the evening. Well, what they've done now is they've created artificial cirrus, and it occurs much lower. All this wispy, streaky, feathery stuff you see, this is an imitation cirrus, and its prevalence has increased literally every few years since, I would say, since about 9/11. It really got, 1998, people started to notice it, but it started to really, they laid it on after 9/11.
Interesting. And yes, I'm familiar with what you're talking about. And, I remember different skies when I was younger. At least that's my memory, as faulty as it might be, but I don't think so. Different skies than today. And certainly interesting, kicking it off, in earnest after 9/11. So what you're saying is there, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, multiple agendas at play here, 9/11 and beyond, right?
Yeah, I think that the whole 9/11 event made the public more frightened and docile. And it could be that that was the marker of this new era of programs. I don't know. But certainly, I woke up around the time of 9/11 to the presence of, for instance, chemtrails. I had this dim, somebody I knew in LA mentioned that she didn't do well when they sprayed. I said, sprayed? What, spray what? She said, the chemtrails. And I didn't know what she was talking about, but as she tried to describe it, I saw in my mind what I had seen already in the sky. And then I was very excited. I wanted to find when are they going to do this? And typically in the Western United States, there's a layoff. They don't spray quite as much in the summer because they just don't have as much atmospheric moisture. So where there's tremendous moisture content in the air, for instance, the South, the East Coast, Midwest even, and we have to remember that what releases moisture upward? What releases moisture upward is forests and ocean to some extent, but much more from vegetation. So when you live in a place where there's a lot of vegetation, you tend to get more natural overcast because the clouds form out of that water, as I described earlier. But I have been alerted to the work of Weather War 101, and he posits that this plethora of cooling towers from power plants is pumping millions, if not billions, of gallons of steam into the atmosphere, which is being used to form the artificial clouds. Now, very few people pay attention to this particular research, but I think he's on to something. Weather War 101. Go to his website and you will see he's got loads of videos on YouTube. Every time there's a flooding, what they're doing is they're deliberately moving water around. They're moving water from one place to another place, and then they're destabilizing it through NEXRAD and Doppler pulsing, and they get it to fall as flooding rain. And that's how they cause, you could say, just simply population havoc in the population. I mean, look at the damage done. Look at the damage done from tornadoes and floods. This is they're making extreme weather and they're blaming it on climate change.
Gee, yeah, I was going to say, let me have a stab at that one.
You mentioned climate change. There's been new information that's come out about weather manipulation data, how NOAA has been cooking the books, trying to make it appear as though we went through a very high warming phase and then, some kind of warming pause. But it all came out just in the last few weeks that the global warming scientists from NOAA made the numbers up.
People are paying attention, though.
No, I mean, I guess it's one of those retractions or admissions that they put in the back of the newspapers, if at all, or mentioned on the news sites. But all this push for man-made climate change, needing to shut down the coal plants, and all this emissions that need to be taxed, all that was based on manipulated, lying data, and that has to sink in for people. because it was our government, not just some UN scientists.
Well, you very eloquently laid this out. I have to commend you for that, because again, if I was going to, and we you know, folks, we have to think about people just tuning into this program for the first time, perhaps, and think about where they're at, you know, mentally with respect to the subject that we talk about. It's just because you might have a PhD in you know, the real conspiracies, doesn't mean that another listener might not. So. But okay, go ahead and continue. This is fascinating as you're laying everything out. This is great.
Well, I'm not sure what lily pad I should jump to next. But we were talking about, okay, let's just take a break and go to our favorite discussion topic, which is, why can't people see this, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So
please.
I have walked around in San Diego. And I have, one day I went into a store to buy something, groceries, and I came out, and there was a blue sky above me. I came out, and now the sky has lines in it. So what do? Very dramatically, I stand in the parking lot, and I look up, and I'm acting this out. I'm really acting out, oh me, oh my, look at the sky. Does anyone else look up? No. So that experiment failed. So then when I'm walking on the beach one day, I see, you know, the chemtrails, and I see them spreading, and there's one particular formation called knots on a rope. So you have this line in the sky, and then you have these bubbles, these bulges that are very evenly spaced coming off it, right? So
they're like pulses, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that, yes.
Okay, so that's called knots on a rope. So I am walking on the beach, and I look up, and there's not just one knots on a rope, but there are other ones that are slightly older, a few, let's call it an hour older. So I say to this person, do you see that? And he says, yes. And I say, well, what do you think that is? Oh, a plane went by. I said, okay, now look at that. And I point to an older knots on a rope that has morphed and is now gunky and streaky. I said, what's that? He says, I don't know. A cloud? I said, no, that's not a cloud. That's the same thing as this thing I just asked you about. A plane went by there also. And now it has made a cloud. And he says, what? And I said, that's what is happening. Everything above you today is actually clouds created by planes. What do you think of this? And now this is beyond his comprehension. He doesn't have the alphabet to deal with this. And he wants to get away from me.
Normalcy bias in action, I suppose that, yeah. And we've experienced the same thing here, and even when we talk about it, there's a natural pushback by even some people who listen to this program, and by people who just don't quite understand this. One of the questions I have, and maybe this is not the right time to ask it, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and you feel free to answer it anytime, but wouldn't your local meteorologists, the people who stand in front of the green screens and say, hey, it's raining here, it's 85 here, and you know how we used to have, they used to put little suns with the clouds and, you know, on those old boards, now that it's all green screen, but wouldn't they know about this? Wouldn't the people reporting on the weather know about this?
They do, but they're under contract. This is the thing. This is where the commerce and contracts comes in. They have to talk about what they're supposed to talk about. And if any of them try to get into chemtrails or stuff that isn't part of the script, then they're fired or they're harmed some other way. It's all shut down.
You're exactly right. And it's this is policy that's across the board. You know, we see how these people on the cable news networks, the pundits and talk show hosts make how many millions of dollars each a year. These people are paid to avoid certain topics, they're paid to say what they're told, to read what is written for them. And you're exactly right. If they get out of line, they will be fired. They could be sued, and they won't find a job in the area again. It's become a gatekeepers of information. They are paid not to tell the truth, not to report the facts. They are paid to report what is convenient or what is needed to be reported by the people and places of power above them. And if they step out of line, then they lose their job and they'll find some other dupe to pay to spit their lines.
And you know, with 1 minute to go before the break, and by the way, Sophia Smallstorm is our guest. AboutTheSky.com is her website. Very prolific all across the YouTube video internet. I want to kind of ask this question. How high up does this go? For example, does a new president, incoming president, does he know about this, or she know about this, or, well, he know about this, or is this above his clearance, you know? And I guess, you know, where's the funding come from? And then also, too, I'd like to get into the fact that you've done some marvelous work with respect to the frequency, frequencies affecting the chemtrails, which you referenced earlier. But all of this, again, with our guest, Sophia Smallstorm, and her website, AboutTheSky.com. Much more to come right after this. Give us 3 minutes, folks. We're going to be right back. Sophia, thank you so much for your gracious gift of time, and we're so glad to have you passing out this information.
Absolutely. And folks who may have joined us late, in the first hour, we had Steve Quayle along with Ross Powell from Survival 401k. So if you did miss that interview, be sure to check that out after our show or whenever you get a chance. We'll be right back with Sophia after these short messages. Stay with us.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.